I think everyone should be in therapy, especially more men need to be in therapy.
Yes. 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 Yes.
But they're very reluctant. Men are very reluctant. My best friend, his name is Josh. He's my age. He just went through his second divorce. He's been very depressed. And I told him, I was like, you should go to therapy. And he was like, nah. Running. Running. That's my therapy. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because sushi, that's my haircut.
What the fuck are you talking about?
We need to treat depression like the disease that it is, right? Yes, yes. You know, you wouldn't tell someone with diabetes to run it off, because you need both feet.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
We're going to get pretty stoned and go to the mall nice. Tomorrow and see the seals. And, you know, it's these poor seals. Because, you know, at least at a zoo, they recreate a natural habitat. But, like, I don't think any of these seals grew up next to a Spencer's Gifts. Right. And that's going to be tough for them.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning! Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is not my missing best friend, Kristen Joy Hoadley. She is away in Memphis, seeing yet another concert, being at yet another festival, as her husband plows through May with a concert or festival every single weekend. So best to you out there in the podcast universe. I'm going to be your only host today, Brian. And as you're listening to this, I'm probably getting a tooth cracked out of my head while my eyes are still open. It's literally my living nightmare. But why listen to my drama when you can listen to today's TCB infomercial with one of the funniest touring comics out there, Gianmarco Sorosi? We actually interviewed Gianmarco a while ago, but because he is in the frozen tundra of Canada when we interview him, his internet was really spotty and he dropped off a few times. No fault of his own. We love this conversation with Gianmarco. It took me a while to edit it in a way that is listenable. And so I think I've got a good one on deck for you today. Gianmarco is on a forever tour. He's touring forever. You can go to his website, GianmarcoSorosi.com. Don't worry, you don't have to know how to spell it. I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can see if he's coming to your town. He probably is coming to your town, because he's got dates through December 31st. You know a comic is good when they are touring 160 nights in just the last 6 months of the year. I mean, this guy is everywhere all the time. He's also got a hilarious podcast that I have started to listen to, and it's called The Downside with Gianmarco Sorosi. And tune into the latest episode where they decide whether or not he's actually turning into Jeff Goldblum. It's a weird conversation on alternate universe theories. I think you're going to laugh a lot, and I think you're going to like it. So let us not delay. Let us not waste a lot of time listening to me drabble on, because I have to go and, you know, get x-rays of my jaws so that they know where to put the bone graft in my head. Brush your teeth, kids. Brush your teeth. That's all I got to say. So Gianmarco Sorosi, here's our interview with him. Why don't we do this? Normally I ask Chrissy about this, but I'm going to ask you, the podcast listener. Why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, through the magic of telepodcasting, I will have Gianmarco right here in the studio a couple of months ago, a while ago, recording an interview with our dear friend Gianmarco Sorosi, and enjoy this special Friday TCB infomercial. I know you're going to love it. So let's take a break. We'll be back with Gianmarco.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB. And you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
Thanks, Gianmarco, for coming on. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You're in very cold Edmonton.
Yes, I'm performing in, it's a mall. It's one of the biggest malls. It's a comedy club in a mall. It's the second biggest mall in North America.
Oh, really?
Yes, they have seals. They have a seal show.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's why. Because these colder places, they have to
have indoor
make
spaces.
It all.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
true. Not the seals. We weren't talking about the seals. We had no idea about the seals. But we were wondering, so we had heard, maybe this is just like, you know, one of those rumors you hear, legends, like urban legends.
Canada legend.
Does Canada, do they have tunnels where they can like walk from place to
walkways
place to
keep you warm?
No, you're thinking of the Hasidic Jews in New York City, I think. I haven't seen any. I don't know. Certainly
walkways, maybe covered walkways. I don't know. Maybe just they have huge malls. That's
I think so. Like there's definitely like tunnel like things that I walk through to get to the comedy club.
There you go.
Minus one, bro. That's what minus one, but feels like what? Minus one feels like minus 10. I grew up in Chicago and minus one is that's even cold for a guy from Chicago.
Sure. I mean, I don't know how you grew up in Chicago. I can't even imagine.
I didn't have a choice in the matter. But and so sure. Now I'm down here in Atlanta, and I'll never go back because I don't know how people live in that terribly windy and cold city. In the summer, it's lovely and hot, but in the winter, it's not. Gianmarco, I have more important things to talk to you about. And
it's a pressing question.
It's a pressing question. Inquiring minds want to know, Chrissy and I. Do you like your dental hygienist?
You know, I am I'm glad
nice
you brought that
you,
up. I appreciate that. I used to be on the Actors Union insurance many years ago, and then I did not make enough money to qualify. So I had to like downgrade all my doctor. I had to lose. I lost my whole team.
Sure.
And so the doctor I see now, they're in Chinatown. And no one at the office speaks English, which honestly, it's fine.
Perfect, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that. It can be, you know, I think when they lecture me about, you know, what I should be doing, I don't follow. So, I don't feel
floss
bad.
Floss more. They're just saying floss more.
Floss more. That's what they always
say.
Yeah.
So it's going okay. You know, I don't seem to have a lot of cavities, and I think that's just genetics.
You know, that's really good news, because Chrissy and I were just talking off air about this pressing problem we have with our hygienist, just to fill you in on why we would even ask the question.
Please.
As ridiculous as that. Is that Chrissy
they
and I,
like to talk.
Yeah, we have chatty hygienists, and when we, you know, when you got somebody sticking things in your mouth,
and I have a...
Well, then you should see... My guy, we have no conversations at all.
See, that's perfect.
I want the name and phone number because my hygienist.
You're going to go to Chinatown.
I'm going to go to Chinatown for
cleaning.
I wish we had a Chinatown.
Yeah.
My hygienist likes to show me pictures of her dog while she's cleaning my teeth and then wants me to react to the dog. And I'm like, honestly, I don't care. I mean, I could care, but I really don't. Now's not the time to talk about your dog. Let's get this over.
They're holding you captive.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I think people need to understand when they have a captive audience and go like, if in this situation I should be. And think about it, she's showing her dog to everybody.
Yeah.
She doesn't get tired of showing this dog.
Well, she doesn't get tired because no one can tell her that we really don't want to talk to her about her dog.
Everybody seems enthusiastic, I guess.
I wonder if she's ever like on a date and, you know, the date's not paying attention to her. So she just puts her hands in the mouth just to be like, you know, let me talk a little.
I don't know if I could even look at another human being the same way. If I was a gynecologist or a hygienist or a proctologist, I'd be like, I'm good with humans. They're all good. You have a really funny bit that I was watching about men going to therapy and how when you tell your friends, you're like, hey, man, you know, you should go see a therapist. You should do some therapy. And your friends will respond with something like, no, running, jogging. It's my therapy. I go to therapy and I love it. But I feel like I get this response from a lot of my friends, too. They'll be like, no, running is my therapy. No, I do things on Saturday. I'm going to cut the grass. It's, you know, a meditative state of mind. Or, you know, drugs and alcohol. That's my therapy. But I totally agree with you. Are you a longtime therapy guy?
Yeah, I think I was skeptical for a little bit because both of my parents were deeply in therapy and it didn't seem to do shit for them. But you know, I went through a bad breakup, more like someone I dated for 5 years, and then they got married to someone else. Oh. And so I finally went to therapy, and it's tough because it's twofold. One, I think we need to reframe therapy as like, it's just getting advice from someone outside who doesn't have an investment or their own motivations.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I also think like there is kind of a more conservative angle of like, don't go to therapy. And I think the reason is if you really pent up your problems, that gives you the kind of energy to do things like storm the Capitol and go to war. And I really do believe that like some of the propaganda against therapy is simply that, no, we need you to be pent up so we can direct that frustration towards a very specific cause.
Yeah,
I like this line of thinking right here. Because I've always said, I think we have a loneliness problem in this country. Like people are extraordinarily lonely, grasping at straws, hoping for meaning in their life. And a therapist could probably tell them, you know, hey, there's no hope or meaning. You just got to kind of trudge through from one to the next. But you'll be okay, bro. But I think I might agree with you for this. People aren't as angry and fearful if they're a little bit self-aware. So it's like, you know, then they don't, you know, go so crazy.
It's the same thing with like masturbation. You know, I think religions go, you know, don't jerk off, because then if you don't, you get so mad. You're like, we all need to go to church on Sunday and you need to give the money. And it's that's the real impetus, I think, for that kind of thinking.
We have we've given bumper stickers out. We support men's prostate health. We need to stay healthy with our masturbation. We have 21 EPM stickers, which means 21 ejaculations per month. That'll bring your chances.
We're just doing our part.
Yeah, we're doing our part.
For a second, I thought it was per minute, and I was like, whoa, I gotta go, guys. I'm behind.
And that's our time.
And that's our time with Gianmarco today. Thank you very much. I love your name. You're obviously Italian, right?
Italian. I'm much more Jewish. But they, you know, I'm probably like, God knows it, a tenth, an eighth Italian. It's humiliating, but that's the name they gave me. Yeah, it just feels like a lie. My name feels like a lie sometimes.
I love the name because I used to work at a trattoria, like a place called La Strada Trattoria. You know, an Italian restaurant owned by an Italian off the boat Italian, wonderful restaurant, made great food, neighborhood restaurant. But one of the managers, his name was Gianmarco. And so Gianmarco, he would sit at the corner of the bar smoking cigarettes at the corner of the bar. This is how long ago it was. He'd be on there smoking cigarettes. And, you know, people would come in and he'd be like, Brian, send them a bottle of Chianti Classico. And it was this cheap swill that we had, boxes and boxes in the back. And so he'd be like, go get them two bottles of Chianti Classico. Give them Chianti Classico. And then inevitably, I'd go, yeah, Gianmarco, what do you want me to do with the bill? You want me to, you know, void it, comp it, whatever? He'd be like, what are you talking about? Put it on the bill. And I'd be like, what? You just told me to bring them two bottles of Chianti Classico. And then you charge $50 for this fucking swill, and now you want them to pay for it. They drank it because they thought it was free. And,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but he sounds like me, an Italian Jew. I wish, you know, I did Rosetta Stone for Italian twice, and the only word I remember is Rosetta. So it's been my dad, he pretended, like when I was a kid, he's probably a quarter Italian, but he told me growing up that I was like 100% Italian.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I believed
Italians
him because I hadn't learned about fractions yet. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Jewish mom, Italian dad. And we watched The Godfather like it was like a home movie. He would tell us.
In my family, yep.
there's this symbol. It's like a Sicilian or Italian symbol. It's like three legs around a head or something.
And he
would tell me, he'd be like, son, that's our family crest. And I don't know. And it's like he thought I would never grow up. He thought I'd never like Google what is this image. So it's just my life has been a lie.
Yeah.
And I wish there were more like, because with the Jews, you know, when I was younger, I did the Birthright trip. And I wish Italians had a thing for like the Vatican or something. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Though I don't know. I think if the Vatican was like, oh yeah, we give a free trip to little boys, I'd be like, eh, yeah, that's okay. We're going to slide on that one.
Let's rethink that.
Yeah, you got to get to the Vatican when you're young to dissuade you from believing that the Vatican is just really a holy, it's like a bank for the richest human being in the world. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the Vatican, but
I have. No, I did when I got older.
Yeah, me too.
And every piece of artwork, they're like, this one's priceless, this one's priceless. Remember to help the poor.
Yeah.
And you're like,
exactly. Then they have the collection plate outside, and it's like, I want you to donate. For what fucking reason do you want
the collection plate is like a Michelangelo plate that costs $10 billion. Right. You're like, sell the plate.
Exactly. I was in the Sistine Chapel, and there was a guy walking around with a basket, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You got the Sistine Chapel above you. Sell a piece of that. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying this as a good Catholic, of course.
Of course.
So, Gianmarco, you have this podcast that I think is really funny. How long have you had
the downside?
The downside. How long have you had the podcast for?
Oh boy, maybe like 2.5 years. It's crazy to think.
You guys have been, yeah. That's a long time in the podcast industry to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we started ours in 2020.
Yeah, we've been
like
we've been
everybody else. But
oh, so smart. I wish I had started in 2020. That was the time to do it.
Yeah, unlike
I did that.
It looks like you've had a little bit of success. So.
Listen, your studio's prettier than mine, I'll tell you that.
Well,
it's a beautiful studio.
You can't. That's just what you see on TV.
That's just what you see
can't
on TV.
See the, rest.
The other half is chaos.
Yeah.
It's wires hanging everywhere, taped stuff.
Don't worry, Gianmarco. It won't look this good forever, as one of my children will eventually need their room back. So when they get it,
sure,
back,
sure.
All this stuff down.
That's going to be something a whole generation of kids who had to sleep in a podcast studio.
Right.
I keep on telling Chrissy that this podcast, you know, most parents are going to give their children reason to go to therapy. As a matter of fact, I think parents have been keeping therapists in business for a very long time.
Sure.
But Chrissy and I are just loading the gun full of ammunition for my children. They're going to be years in therapy just to try and
unravel
what's going
Dad
on
did.
From their friends. That's right.
I pay for my own therapy now, but it was very funny in the beginning when my parents would pay. It's for me to go tell a stranger what pieces of shit they were 24/7.
Wow. So your parents were paying for your therapy when you first got into therapy?
Yeah. Yeah. And they felt, I think in the beginning, they felt responsible. You know, my parents are divorced multiple times. And I felt justified in being like, you know, you owe me this. You owe me this.
To each other or two separate people?
Divorced
and remarried.
Yeah, so they got divorced. No, never. There was no parent trap situation with them.
Because that happened to me. So
really?
Three times.
Wow.
Three times
they got married.
To each other.
Three ceremonies?
Yes, three ceremonies.
How many people were at the
third ceremony? There was, you know, the courthouse. But.
Yeah.
Wow. That is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. My mom married my dad's former lawyer.
Oh.
It was part of the divorce settlement.
Wow.
And
part of the divorce.
And then, but they got divorced, and then my dad got married, and then lots of girlfriends, lots of long term girlfriends. But he's single now.
Yeah.
On single.
Yeah.
Is he on Hinge? Is he on Hinge?
No, he's more on like kind of the Russian mail order type sites. Like he's doing a lot of Google translating for his messages.
That fits right in with Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
or 90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé.
We
That's
love
right.
those shows.
Maybe your dad has a chance to become a B-list celebrity on TLC. You just keep prodding him along, and there'll be a happy ending to this. I know it.
I don't think so. I think he would. He'd be a great reality TV character, but I think I would be canceled by association.
Do you watch certain shows on tour or when you're traveling? Do you go? You have a couple go-tos.
Yeah, you have any like comfort food for your eyeballs?
Trash TV, I'm, if you will.
Yeah, I try. I have more like comfort podcasts.
Yeah,
I'm more into like, you know, if Succession was when that was playing, White Lotus. I save it for like the really good I can talk about with friends. I'll watch Curb Your Enthusiasm now and then, Seinfeld now and then. Those are my comforts.
Those are good ones.
Do you enjoy being, like, you're on an epic tour right now. I mean, just a scan of your website. And by the way, you can get tickets on Gianmarco's website. We'll put a link in the show notes. But I feel exhausted just looking at your schedule. You're like 5 nights here, 4 nights there, 3 nights there.
It seems like exciting places, though.
Yeah, at least they're nice places to visit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a constant navigation of, like, keeping healthy and my sanity and my sleep and trying to have fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm alone. And now I go with, now I'm able, luckily, to bring an opener with me who's like a friend and a pal. And, you know, like tomorrow, you know, I've been doing this. This is my third weekend I've done in Edmonton in my life. And the first two were tough. Going to a Seal show by yourself is just, it's brutal.
Okay, so we lost Gianmarco there for a second, but I want to tell you that we usually wouldn't, like, tell you that we lost Gianmarco. We just, like, piece it back together. But here's the craziest thing. So, Gianmarco, while you were gone on your little break, Chrissy was – I said, that's what happens when you fuck with the Seals in Canada. They cut your internet. And Chrissy goes, oh, you mean, like, the singer? And I go, no, the animals.
I thought you were saying when you went to a Seal show by yourself, like a Seal concert.
She thought you went so
I see. Yeah. No, Seal would rather. Yeah. Seal's not performing in Edmonton anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is opening? No, there. It's speaking about having an opener.
Oh, sure, sure. He's actually from Atlanta originally. Liam Nelson is his name.
Okay.
Very good comedian, and we're gonna get pretty stoned, and go to the mall tomorrow and see the Seals. And, you know, it's these poor seals, because, you know, at least at a zoo, they recreate a natural habitat. But, like, I don't think any of these seals grew up next to a Spencer's Gifts. Right. And that's going to be tough for them.
When you say you're going to go get really stoned, I'm assuming weed's legal in Edmonton?
I mean, weed was legal in Canada way before us. I remember the day. I remember coming to Canada, like, I don't know, 17, and being like getting weed. It was like, whoa. And now in New York, there's weed stores everywhere. It's everywhere.
I was just reading about the debacle going on in New York.
Which debacle? What did you read?
Well, I guess there's a lot of political, you know, mess, I guess, kind of who gets a dispensary, who's allowed to, who's not. There's stuff on every corner, people doing stuff under the table. I don't know. I just read a little article about it this morning.
They were sure it's the weed dispensary licenses, like, to family members,
people have been convicted
of nonviolent marijuana.
Well, first it was just a workout studio. It's called Con Body. And the instructors are all former inmates. They never specify of what, because, you know, if my fitness instructor, you know, killed somebody, I'll pay extra. That's the kind of motivation that I need. You know, right. Just pull out a knife, be like, squat lower than this. That'll get me down. And it's a little bit. It's a little bit hokey. It feels a little weird. Like, they're like, you know, the doors, prison bars. And, but then they just opened a weed element to this company. So now it's like, it's this whole, like, hey, be a criminal. It's very surreal, but good. If it helps the people who went to jail for pot, good. Give them the money. Give them the money, please.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more, actually. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Well, I guess
idea.
There's not enough of that happening.
Well, I think it's just a slow process. Yeah. It's like everywhere. You know, you start putting in red tape, and I understand there needs to be red tape, and you need to be monitored and carefully, whatever, calculated and all that stuff. But I just want them to start making the weed gummies with an even amount of weed. You know what I'm saying? Because if I eat one corner, I don't get it. I'm fine. And I eat the other corner, and
I've been talking to this. I've been talking about this recently, because I do that, too. I do the... I'll sometimes be like, oh, 10, I would just want 5. I eat half. I don't feel anything. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm getting like immune to 5s. And then I have the other half and I'm like, fucking dead. That's such a good point.
Yes.
Yeah, because this is like a couple of months ago, and one of my friends brought back from California like these extremely potent, it says right on there, extremely potent, caution, 50 milligrams per gummy, 50 whatever it is, micrograms, milligrams of THC. And I was like, and he goes, dude, you gotta nibble, bro, nibble a little bit here, a little bit there. Like, don't try and pack that power punch right into one bad boy. And I go, no, you don't have to convince me. Like, I'm full of anxiety. I know weed, most weed is going to send me into a tailspin. So one night, just having fun, and I took a little nibble, nothing, not a thing. I didn't feel a damn thing. I was walking around the house just fine. So a couple of weeks later, then I nibble on the other side of it. And Gianmarco, I had a 6-hour long panic attack in the middle of the night, questioning my existence, wondering if my children were okay. And they were right there laying in the bed with me. And I'm like, are they okay? Should I go check on? Oh, there they are. It was insane. They need to like even that shit out.
They do.
You think that 2024, they have some technology. It's they have some technology to figure
that
out.
Yeah, it's called mixing the batter. But that's kind of fun. That's like, that's what it used to be like in high school. Someone would make weed brownies with the butter and the melt, and you had no idea what kind of night you were going to have. So it adds a little excitement into our lives. Truth. Drugs are supposed to be a little bit risky. I think we forgot that. We're like, whoa, this drug, it was a little surprising. Yeah, that's the whole point.
We were talking to Reggie Watts about drugs and just a couple of weeks ago. You know Reggie Watts.
I did Corden. He was watching from the side.
Nice.
Yeah, he did. So he was telling us
about New Brew.
Yeah, New Brew. But then he was explaining to us about how he was experimenting with ketamine. He had gone through this ketamine phase where he's experimenting with ketamine, and the guy sounded like he had it down to an exact fucking
science.
He's like,
I'll do a little bit of this, and then there's that.
There's a little bit
and
of this.
Talk to that person.
Take 3 milligrams of this. I take 4 milligrams of that. And I thought to myself, I need this guy to help me dose my weed gummies so that I keep myself out of trouble. The podcast that you have, you were named one of the very funny people in podcasting by Podcast Magazine.
Oh.
Yeah, a big publication. I mean, every year people go, what is Podcast Magazine saying these days?
Well, we share that distinction.
We share that distinction of having no one look at our podcast magazine.
I was
article.
Like, they have a magazine for podcasts?
Wait, they have a magazine for podcasts? Where do you pick that up?
Like, but we had a whole feature in it.
Yeah. Where do you pick one of those up? At the same gas station where you get the These People Were Arrested Last Week magazine talking about?
Yeah.
Like in Florida, you go to the gas station, you could pay $1.50 to get mugshots of, like, it's a magazine full of mugshots of the locals that have been arrested. And I thought, maybe that's where they give out podcast magazine, because I don't know where I can pick up my local coffee. But I think it was a funny concept. And Chrissy and I got invited to do like a, you know, like an expose, I guess is what you would call it. Just a couple of months after the podcast had started.
We were excited.
We were so excited. We thought, this is it. We've hit the big time. They're finally taking notice. Everyone's there. Until the guy who did the interview just kept asking Chrissy to do a threesome with him and his wife. And I realized exactly why we had gotten an expose.
He was like, my wife, I think you're so beautiful. And blah, 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 blah. I was like, thank you.
I want to know who made this threesome request. Was it Podcast Magazine or someone else?
It was someone writing on behalf of Podcast Magazine. We met him in a clubhouse room, if you remember that was a thing for 3 minutes. So we met him in a clubhouse
room. I do.
And then he started, and then Chrissy and I did a couple of live podcasts on Clubhouse. There were like 16 people in there. I mean, no one was in these rooms, but he was. And so Chrissy had her picture up on the thing. So then all of a sudden the guy starts, you know, messaging me, hey, I want to do a feature for you guys in Podcast Magazine. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah,
Podcast Magazine, finally taking notice. Finally, after a month of the podcast.
I mean, to be fair, this is like when someone at a mall is like, hey, you ever want to be a model, kid? You should come back to my place. Let's take some pictures. You know, you should be skeptical. If anyone wants to feature your podcast in anything, you should go. They probably want to fuck. There's no way this has anything to do with the podcast.
True story. But, you know, we were young and dumb and
naive.
Yeah. We were just as bad at podcasting as we are now. And we just thought, hey, listen, maybe this is our break. Maybe this is something. But then when we started thinking about it, we were like, wait, there's a magazine for fucking podcasting? Does anyone really pay attention to this podcast magazine? And what we found out was clearly, no, nobody listens to pod. No one reads or cares about what anybody has to say about podcast magazines. It's a ridiculous venture.
Such a weird thing to like. Try to like pick up people, try to you hook up with people in podcasting, a career notorious for people who have chosen to not be on camera. It's like, you know what? I'm not great at this. I'm going to go for the people with the face for radio. That's who I'm going to try to.
Yeah, the guy got on a Zoom call.
It was interesting.
And it was interesting. I'm telling you.
You even got a butt dial right from the guy later with his wife in the hot tub.
Yeah, they were in the hot tub. It was just a whole weird scene. I mean, I don't want to get into like.
How do you get a butt dial in the hot tub?
I'm not sure.
That doesn't.
I'm not sure it was a butt dial.
Or him just I sat on my phone. I'm in a hot tub. You want to join? That's insane.
Sorry, my balls touched call. But while we're at it, let me FaceTime you. Let me dick time you. He was a character.
He was interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I later found out that none of them got paid for any of the work that they did. So I guess they got what we paid for.
He might have picked up some ass.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know who would sleep with that guy, but you know, to each their own.
Well, let me tell you how I got in podcast magazine.
Go.
Yeah. No, the joke was I fucked him. That was the joke. Yeah.
I got the joke, but now I really want to know, how did you get in podcast magazine?
I think it was my PR person must have partaken in a threesome. I got to give them a raise. They are really fantastic. They're really taking one for the team.
Yeah, they are.
When you go out on the road and you do these long stretches like you're doing right now, I see that you're doing like 4 and 5 dates at a particular club. When you do that, what is the worst part of it besides being away from home and not your creature comforts? What is the worst part about being out on the road like you are right now? Because we like to keep it positive.
I mean, sure. I mean, yes. Like yesterday was like a super shitty day of. Just flight delayed, and there's no one who really gives a shit, and I almost missed the show. And you're like, you just have to. I think it's the real pressure of like, if you cancel, some people they traveled 2 hours to see you. They rented a hotel. They do all these things, and you really get like the intensity of. How many people's nights you're going to fuck up if you're not good. I mean, you know, when I think of like Taylor Swift, when she cancels a gig, it affects 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and also the thing that, you know, recently someone had a seizure at one of my shows in the middle of the show.
No.
I believe they're okay. But then I had another show where someone had like, they passed out. And I thought like, I read a lot sometimes, not to compare myself to Taylor Swift, but you start reading like, oh, this person, they died on the way to a Taylor Swift concert. Yeah. Oh, this person, they died on the way home. And why didn't – and it's like you think like, oh, the more people you involve, the more lives that you're involved with.
Yeah. True.
And I just think there's probably – Taylor Swift's getting to a point where someone's going to die at every one of her shows, statistically speaking.
Yeah, she's got
and
so many people.
And that's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just the tough part is the feeling of you had a layover, flight was delayed, you barely get to the club, you feel like shit, and there's all these people who are so excited, and you have to be like, I need to meet this moment, and I have never felt worse.
Right.
I never thought about that because, of course, we sit behind a microphone, right? So if we're having a bad day, we just. Don't do the show right that moment, or we can delay it a couple hours or whatever. But I never thought about that. Is there's real pressure, and I think in that 7-foot walk where you're like, man, I have to get it together because these people paid their hard earned money to come see me, and I can't afford to have an off night. It'd be for them, for that pressure of other people. And I'm sure there's lots of people who just don't give a shit. They're like, whatever, you're gonna get what you get, and that's what it is. But you seem really professional in that manner. You're like, I really give a shit whether or not these people get what they came for, and that must be a lot of
a lot of stress on days where you missed flights and shit's late and
yeah.
Good, and maybe you're, you know, just having an off day or an off week or an off month. I mean, that's
I tell my girlfriend, she my girlfriend doesn't like when I talk like it, but I go like, I get why comedians die on the road, because it just is, you got to push through so many things. You just got to push through feeling like shit, and you're in a shitty hotel, but you're like, I got to make it. And, you know, it's a bleak thought, but I get it. I get why it happens in the motel room after the first show of a weekend.
But do you also get this sense, like, I think we were talking with Hannah Berner about this, that like the creation, your creation, like you get up, you create something that, you know, a form of art, right? And I actually think it's kind of a noble profession, but you get up there and you create something. But do you feel like when you create that, there's a great deal of satisfaction? You had a good night, the jokes came through you, you jived with the audience. Is there a great deal of satisfaction that you feel like, wow, I might have improved somebody else's shitty day?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I the feeling that brings me the most joy is like you do a new joke and it kind of works. And so you get to like really, I think sometimes I'm mostly drawn to stand up because I need a lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. I need like a real a back and forth for me to make art. And so you know, even if I'm feeling tired, if I get that new thought I had on the plane and it gets a little bit of something, I'm just excited.
Yeah.
And I feel like I did something.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I like to go long. I like to do an hour and a half usually.
Whoa, really? And 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if I had my way, I'd get away with 2 hours sometimes, but I'm not quite big enough to get away with that yet.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the best part is like, making there's very little room between me having the idea and me getting to literally share it. And I think that's what I really love about the art form in general.
I think you're a very intelligent comic who uses his body on stage in a way that adds punctuation to your jokes. And I think you have to think quickly sometimes to keep up with what you're saying. I said, as a very slow human being, you have to think quickly to keep up with it. But I like your brand of humor. I think you're really funny and you should get the credit that you deserve. And hopefully you will make it to Taylor Swift opening act at one moment. Because if there's anything that I wish for you, Gianmarco, it's that Taylor sends you a bottle of Chianti Classico and then pushes you onto stage in her closet roll around so that you two can feel like a celebrity.
Sure. I mean, I had a Taylor Swift joke recently that went viral, and I was nervous about it. I was nervous. Those guys are scary.
Yeah.
That's a scary fan base.
Yes.
But I'm still alive. I'm still alive.
We have talked a little bit about Taylor Swift on the show, and we get quick responses one way or the other on the text message line whenever we do something Taylor Swift. To the point, you know, there was a little bit of oversaturation, I think, there for a moment when we were leading up to the Super Bowl. There was so much Taylor Swift talk. And that was a lot of the feedback we got most recently was like, okay, guys, enough with Taylor Swift. And I get it. You know, we've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, I think I like to more – I think it's more fun to, like, talk about her fans, because my little sister is a Swiftie. And she told me recently, she said, you know, Taylor Swift is more famous than Michael Jackson ever was. And I was like, well, you know, to find that out, she's going to have to molest some kids, because, you know, there's loving someone, and there's loving someone despite the allegations.
Right.
You know, let's see Taylor shake that one off.
I just played my first Michael Jackson song, like a first Michael Jackson song, to some of my children, and they loved it. And then I was like, am I going down the wrong road here? Because at some point I'm going to have to explain.
Yeah. This. You know, you should play them some classic Bill Cosby records.
Yeah.
They're very good still.
My dad still has classic Bill Cosby records in his record collection. And I told him, I said, Dad, you got to throw that shit out. And he goes, who the fuck cares? And I was like, I think like four or five women might give a shit.
Sure. Four or five. I think it was 70. What was the last count?
Well, you know, I'm just my dad. He's not throwing them away. He doesn't throw away anything. Okay, before we let you go, I have one question. I have one comment for you. You recently on your podcast said something that I think made a lot of sense, and Chrissy and I have talked about here on the show, and I want to get your retake on it. Super Bowl commercials suck these days.
Well, it was just all celebrity.
It was all celebrities all the time. Chrissy and I mentioned this after the Super
Bowl. Right
afterwards.
Like,
that's all I want. The reason why I watch is for the Super Bowl commercials. And now a version of entertainment, I guess, is just seeing your favorite celebrity star drinking, eating, or pushing
driving some product.
Where did the originality go? Where's the good ideas? Where's the actual great commercials that they used, that I feel like they used to do? And I think you had a good take on this.
Yeah, I think listen, it can work. You know, it can be fun to see a celebrity in a unique situation. I think recently Snoop Dogg had a campaign where he said he was giving up smoke. And it ended up being the smoker, which, by the way, the campaign did well, but sales did not go up and they fired the president of that company.
Oh, no way.
But I think it's, even though the campaign was successful, but I just think these ad agencies, they've gotten lazy. What happens is they get that star, and then if you're writing a script, you know, traditionally with a sketch, you have beats of a sketch, kind of where's the jokes, where's the turns. And so many of these commercials, the turn was new celebrity. And then the second turn was a third celebrity. And when you have that as a tool, it just becomes so easy to keep using that.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to take that big of a risk because, you know, they're going to like the commercial because Kanye West was in it. People are going to talk about it just because of that. And so I just think we really have reached a saturation point of so many commercials relied on this that I think people have actually been talking and will hopefully get a shift in the direction. And I also think there's a twofold. I think movie stars in general, they're making less money than they used to. Still plenty.
Yeah.
But so now a lot of them are more willing to do a commercial. I think we've gotten rid of the shame of doing commercials that we need to bring back. And I also think these rich people, they're also like the world's coming to an end. or certainly like there's about to be a degree of class warfare. And I want to have a bigger bunker. I want to have a bunker that's big enough for company. And so Jeff Goldblum is like, sure, put me in a third commercial.
Yeah.
Even though I'm about to be in Wicked. I mean, if you are in a trailer that is airing, then I don't want to see you in a commercial right next to it. How can I buy that you're the Wizard of Oz when you're also trying to shill me, get me to buy apartments? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, buy nut coins.
Get out of here. Enough.
Exactly. You know, it used to be that A-list celebrities or, you know, movie stars, they would do a commercial over in China, or maybe they do one in India or whatever it was, you know, in Germany. They would do one of those because you probably wouldn't see it here in the United States. Mm-hmm. The internet was not as...
Yeah, only my dentist would know about it, you know, but other than that, nothing.
But now they're all over the place. And I agree with you. I think it's oversaturation and unoriginal. And I understand the need to make money, get it while it's hot. I get that totally. But, like, you know, save something for the bedroom, as my mom used to say. Save something for the bedroom.
Or get a little more creative.
Save something for the comedian that doesn't want to go to Edmonton a fourth time next year.
Bro, I feel for your current situation. I hope the SEALs treat you well tomorrow. I hope you get as stoned as possible. Chrissy and I have been recommending Cypress Hill for very stoned days. So check out Cypress Hill, small little band back in the 90s and 2000s. You might have heard of them. And thank you so much for spending time with us, Gianmarco. Gianmarco is now on tour giving away bottles of Chianti Classico at no tour stops he stops at. And then he's also very funny. You can Google Gianmarco and we'll put a link to all of his pertinent details in our show notes. Thank you, Gianmarco. Hope
Thank
you have
you.
A great weekend in Edmonton.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It. You too.
What? Oh, hi. It's Christina again, here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
Loved talking to Gianmarco. He is literally all over the place. He's going to be in a town near you. I just know it. And there you go. From the ass crack of Canada, Gianmarco Sorosi. I hope he enjoyed his day at the indoor mall. I swear that I've heard somewhere, Chrissy told me, and I haven't verified this fact, that they have tunnels from one building to the other, so because it's too cold up there to walk outside, I don't know. But I do have friends who've said that Edmonton is lovely. I just don't know that I can go that far north without, I don't know. I don't like cold plunges, so I don't think I'm going to like cold weather. But anyway, Gianmarco Sorosi, his podcast is The Downside with Gianmarco Sorosi. His website is GianmarcoSorosi.com. I will leave a link in the show notes. Also, check out his Instagram, his ever-popular Instagram. And yeah, if he's close, go see a show. Okay, Chrissy and I will be back Tuesday with the lovely Wendy McClendon Covey. The TCB infomercial airing on Tuesday, and then we'll be back with normal episodes next week. Me, minus one tooth, probably, and Chrissy still hungover from her Widespread Panic concert over the weekend. So we look forward to that. TCBpodcast.com is where you go. You find out more information about Chrissy and I. You can read all the show notes, all the links to our guest stuff, all our sponsor codes. All of that stuff is on our website and in the show notes. But on the website, you can get your free TCB sticker. Go to the website, hit the Contact Us button, drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Give us your address, and then we'll send you a sticker and a special little note, whatever you want. Just name it in the email. Whatever it is, name your price, and we'll pay it. Just for you to keep listening to the show. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. Please dial us up, 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. If you want to be on the show, just let us know. Text us or leave us a voicemail. I see a lot of you calling but not leaving voicemails, and that's highly disappointing to me. I wish you would leave me a funny voicemail so I could play it here on the show. Do it. Go do it. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for all of our guest interviews, selected shows and clips. All right. Wish me luck on my oral surgery. I wish Chrissy luck on her big old festival weekend. Have a nice Memorial Day. Best to you, Christian Joy Hildy, wherever you are. Best to you in the podcast universe. Until next time, it's me, and I'm saying, I must say, I will say, I do say goodbye.